Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville, if you're not in Tupelo, like Carlo isn't right now, you can just get it delivered right to your door. You should order your mom some Strange Brew coffee. Have it delivered right to her door. Is she a coffee drinker?
She is a coffee drinker.
Well, what are we doing with our life here?
I'm wasting time here, Brian.
We will get her some Strange Brew coffee up there, and she can enjoy it each and every morning. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef,
it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. Plus, this weekend is Father's Day. You know, we've been talking about this good stuff happening on Father's Day. Take dad for a steak. I'm not one of those dads that's like, hey, Father's Day means I'm cooking out. I cook out the other weekends of the year. Father's Day is a day where I'm going to let somebody else cook for me, cook me a steak. So take dad out to a great steakhouse. We've got them all over the state of Mississippi, and let dad enjoy a fine steak this Father's Day. Beef, it's what's for dad. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, followed by the Half Shell. You can shop online. collegecornerstore.com. Again, if you're looking for a great last-minute Father's Day gift, you're in the Jackson area, Father's Day at College Corner is no problem. They've got everything Mississippi State. Hey, dad's a rebel, first off.
Oh.
Yeah. But secondly, they got that covered as well. All the red and powder blue a man could ever, for some reason, want. They've got I don't know the reason, at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you not only they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, talk to our friends at Priority One Bank, bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number, bankers that treat you with respect, bankers that give you a level of service you're only going to get at Priority One Bank. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location, let Priority One Bank make you their priority. We are 12 weeks away from the start of the college football season. That means it is time to start opponent previews here on Thunder and Lightning. And as we do every year, we start at the end. It's going to be kind of interesting. Next week, we won't do one because I'm not going to do a preview of Tennessee Tech. I'll just let you know.
We can
skip that one. But then we'll get back into it with the SEC games all the
you
way
through. You probably skipped Toledo a few years ago, too.
I didn't. I actually got a Toledo guy. I had a Toledo guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I did not. I don't think I skipped. I'm pretty sure I didn't. But, yeah, Mississippi State skipped Toledo.
Yeah, they
how was I any different? So it means we're talking about the Egg Bowl today. The whole show, we're going to do the Egg Bowl. Let's start with an interview, though. I had Michael Borky on the podcast earlier this week to talk about the Ole Miss Rebels, give us a preview of what year one for Pete Golding could look like. Where will the Rebels be better? Where will they be worse? And more. All interviews here on the show, as you know, are brought to you by our friends over at Allura Modern Wellness. I have really got to go give Allura Modern Wellness a visit. I am getting old, and my back, my shoulders, I'm in pain. I just finished it. By the way, I want to point something out to our listeners. Carlo texted me at 9:53. It's like, hey, I've got a little window here if we could do the podcast. I had just finished my walk. All right, hot outside. I'm covered in sweat. That was at 9:53. It is 10:21. I've been sitting here for about 5 minutes, shaved, hair.
Yeah, that was quick. But when you sent me the link at like 10:15, I was like, oh, all right, let's go.
Get ready quicker, guys, is what I'm trying to say. But that being said, I mean, I had a long walk today, and my body is feeling it. I really need to go get some recovery with my friends over at Allura Modern Wellness. I need a trip to my favorite thing in there, the cryotherapy chamber. It gets you good and cold. I don't know how it works. I don't know the science. I just know that I feel better when I walk out than when I walked in. And that's a different kind of science. Visit them online at aloramodernwellness.com. You can look at all their services there. You can book all their services there, or you can just call them today at 662-268-9255. Alora Modern Wellness brings you this interview with Michael Borky of Sports Talk Mississippi as we talk the Ole Miss Rebels and the Egg Bowl. We are 12 weeks from the start of the college football season. There are 12 games in the college football season. It is time to start opponent previews here on Thunder and Lightning. And as we always have, we start at the end, which means we are talking about the Egg Bowl with Michael Borky, my co-host on Sports Talk Mississippi, and a damn fine American, if I do say so myself. Let's talk about this Ole Miss team. Let's start at what's not back for the Rebels. We all know Trinidad Chambliss and Kewan Lacy. We know the pieces that are back on defense. What does this team not have that it had a year ago other than Lane Kiffin?
Right now, anyway, I think that the biggest loss could be a Dejon Stribling. Now, you have mixed in Deuce Alexander. That was a big returner at wide receiver. They've portaled that position, they seem to think, pretty well. I mean, the number two portal class has a bunch of good players in it. Imagine that. But by the end of the season, Dejon Stribling was just outstanding. And he, in particular, in the Sugar Bowl, was really good. And there's a reason that he was the number 33 pick in the draft. You know, people are talking about Prince Will and others. Stribling is somebody that's not getting talked about as a guy that this team might miss, and I think that they are going to miss him. There was so much saga around Ole Miss at the end of last season and then all of the player retention. There wasn't enough talked about, hey, this guy was a stud by the end of the season, and he's no longer there. He's going to be with the 49ers. So that's an underrated loss for this team, is Stribling at wide receiver.
That being said, if we're talking about Ole Miss this season, if we're just talking about one wide receiver, it feels like that's, you know, what you're saying by not saying anything is that this offense especially should not really miss a beat. That's going to be the real question mark, though. New head coach, new offensive coordinator. It's the same system, but you know as well as I do that every coach has their own tweaks and things that they want to do. What's going to be different about things under Baker that were happening under Weiss and Kiffin?
Yeah, the same but different, yeah. I guess would be the best way to describe it. John David Baker himself said it's about 80% the same. I think you're going to see more two tight end sets.
State fans are like, I hope that 20% was the scoring touchdown part.
But that is a part of the field where I think you might see some differences. When it comes to goal-to-go red zone type situations, I think you are going to see a little bit more size. Maybe things closer in tight as opposed to still going for wide receivers, things like that. I think you might see a little bit the most offensive variation, I think, is going to come in red zone or goal-to-go situations. And you're exactly right. I mean, he's a guy from the Kiffin tree. I would be a lot more concerned if they had just promoted from within as opposed to a guy that went out for 2 years, did it under a defensive-minded head coach, on his own, and then came back. But yeah, that is the huge question mark. And then the tackle position as well. I mentioned Stribling. I was probably a little dismissive of that spot. Now, I guess you go on Cole Kublik's show a good bit. He has said that this offense really protects specifically the tackles, that it allows you to not have to have an elite tackle.
There's
in
not
order
a lot of 5 second drops,
offense.
You know, 7 step drops happening in this offense.
Yeah, but they're still replacing both of those guys. And right now, I mean, Terrez Davis, apparently they really, really like. He's been in the program, he transferred from Maryland. But the other side, I mean, Kern has an offseason arrest. Now, I guess all the meaningful charges got dropped, but he didn't show up in the spring the way that they were hoping he would either. The talent ceiling is super high, but his Ole Miss career has not gotten off to the start that anybody was hoping that it would, both with his, you know, the shape that he was in on the field. And then, they had the meet the team day, and then a few hours later, he's driving 100 miles per hour in Arkansas. It's like, you know, that little things like that they need to figure out, because the right tackle position between he and Kinsler, I mean, there's a chance that they spread Kudus out there to play tackle. They're trying to figure that spot out, it seems. But that is another one, to go back to your first question, that you need to keep an eye on is that position. One tackle's locked down, but the other one, it's it's not as good as Ole Miss fans are hoping, at least through the spring anyway.
Another offensive question I have, since Kiffin arrived, the tight end has been a bonus position for the Ole Miss Rebels. They have had great play there, Kenny Yeboah and Caden Priestcorn, and last year with Daquan Wright. Who is ready to fill that role and be that guy? I talk about this offense all the time where when it's humming, you'll have balls get thrown to the tight end, and there's nobody on your television screen except for the tight end. He's just wide open. Who's going to fill that role for the Rebels this year?
So, Luke Haz is the guy that is most likely just to slip right in and be that guy. He was an Arkansas transfer, got hurt in training camp last year,
Remember that?
so he didn't get to play a whole lot. And then Daquan Wright did his thing. Did score the touchdown in the Sugar Bowl, though. Between he and Caleb Odom, there is a lot of, I say a lot, but there is experience there in the tight end room. One thing that needs to happen, though, is Caleb Odom needs to catch the football more consistently. In terms of physical tools, I mean, he has got everything you want. I mean, he's built. So he's not Evan Engram. I'm only making this body type comparison, not the player
Right.
comparison. But he's built like a longer Evan Engram. That's what he physically looks like. And he was a five-star wide receiver out of high school.
Right.
And you can see the physical traits on him to be that. The hands have got to get a little bit more consistent, but he did play the position pretty well last year. It's going to be those two guys, by and large. And then Michael Smith was a transfer from South Carolina that they seem to like as well. But I think the first two. Also, I don't know if you knew this. There is a Priestcorn in the tight end room.
Oh no.
Yeah,
Thought we got rid of him.
Brady Priestcorn, his younger brother who transferred in from Michigan also. But yeah, it's Haz and Odom. Those are the two guys at tight end. Haz with a ton of experience, obviously, from Arkansas.
And then, of course, the big two names on offense, Kewon Lacy and Trinidad Chambliss. You're talking about for sure a first team all SEC preseason running back because they vote for two. He'll definitely be somebody. I'm going to vote for him. Chambliss, it's between him and Arch probably for first team quarterback. What's another level they can achieve this year?
You know what's interesting is Kewon Lacy is not going to be a first round pick, but certainly a candidate to be a first round pick. I think they're going to use him less. I've said this to you on the radio show before, but there were times last season where they were not smart with his usage in games that they had control of, and it's what got Henry Parrish hurt. They're beating Arkansas by four touchdowns, and Henry Parrish is still in the game, and he suffers a gruesome injury in 24. And then you guys know the rest. Even the state fans listening know what happened after Henry Parrish got hurt in 2024. They did some of that last year. They just got away with it because Kewon Lacy got hurt. I think they're going to be more efficient with his usage this year. You might not see the same volume of carries because he's not going to get snaps in the fourth quarter of a game in which they're winning by four touchdowns like he did last year. I think you're going to see a heavy dose of Shekhai Mills-Knight, Mekhi Frazier, the transfer in from Michigan State. I think you might see a little bit more of a running back rotation. Now, every meaningful carry is going to go to Lacy, but I would not be surprised if his usage rate is actually down this season, that they want to protect him a little bit better. I've heard that from talking to people that there's it's a double, not a double-edged sword. There's two reasons for it. One, they want to protect him for the meaningful games, but also they want to protect him for the NFL too. And so that I think might happen. In terms of Chambliss, the next step for him, what next step can he take? That's my question, is how much better can a guy play than he did in the Sugar Bowl, for example? That was borderline a perfect performance from a quarterback. I think there's been some arm angle adjustments. One thing that was really a knock on his game was the ball gets batted down at the line of scrimmage a good bit. Some of that is height related, but I mean, he's taller than Drew Brees, and Drew Brees didn't really have that problem. There was some arm angle stuff. If you look at some pictures from the spring, it looks like his release point is higher. And that's something that they need to work on. But the biggest thing for him is this team is yours now. This offense is yours now. And it ended up being that by the end of last season anyway. But how is he going to handle being the pressures of being the guy, the pressures of the money that has, 10 times salary increase from last year to this year? everybody on campus, everybody in town is telling him how great he is. And how is he going to mentally handle all of that stuff that comes with being the guy, as opposed to last year where he wasn't the guy? And then after he became it, they're already, you know, in the middle of the season, and Lane Kiffin spent 2 months still telling everybody that it's Austin Simmons' team, and when he's healthy, he's going to play. That's not the case anymore. So I think it's more, you know, outside pressure noise plus the arm angle stuff that you need to watch for with Trinidad this year, as opposed to anything physical. Because if he is the player that he was last year, he'll be invited to New York City probably.
So with this Ole Miss team, you know, what is the expectation level? Because it feels like the roster is – I've been saying this for all season. If Kiffin were still there, this would be a preseason top five team. No question mm-hmm. about it. And they could – you can make a strong case they'd be second or third, to be totally honest with you. The question marks are completely around Pete Golding and what's he going to do in his first full season in charge. So what is a reasonable expectation for him this year? Is there going to be rumbling, I guess I should say, if he's not – back in the playoff?
It's not okay. So I'm about to say it's not fair, but that's not necessarily true. When you are fielding a roster that is this talented, I don't think that we talked about this yesterday on the radio show, ironically.
Yeah.
I don't think that you are given a year one grace period. There's too much money in this roster. There's too much talent on it to say, well, you know, if they stay healthy and they go 8-4, it's just year one for coach. It's fine. No, I don't agree with that. I think the minimum expectation, barring relative health, for a roster this good should be when they're playing the Egg Bowl in the last game of the season, that game has playoff implications. If they go 9-3 and they play well and they just come up a spot or two short in the playoff, I'm not going to call it a disaster season. It's a 9-game conference schedule now. You know, it's a more difficult schedule in and of itself for Ole Miss than last year's was. They had 8 home games last year. It was just easier by every objective measure. Last year's schedule was easier than this year's schedule. But if they're not in that conversation going into Black Friday and they were healthy, then buyer's remorse is the only real, I mean, only honest reaction to the hiring of Pete Golding. If you can't win with this roster, you can't win.
So I guess my question would be this. How concerned are you about September 19th? And just in terms of if they don't beat LSU, the emotion of that kind of pulling the rug out from underneath Ole Miss in this season. Because they got to go to Florida the next week.
See, I would think that LSU can beat them. If LSU beats them once, they're going to beat them twice.
I think it's a fair thought.
Because
I saw it with State with Florida in 2018, you know, when Mullen, you know, they lost to Kentucky the week before, but then when Mullen came in and beat them, the season was just never the same, and you knew you weren't probably going to ever get that other shot at them. It's a little different because Ole Miss will play LSU every year, but
there's going to be so much and Pete Golding is saying all the right things and the players are saying all the right things. And I think that they're going to be able to play. If this was not Louisville, but Louisville Tech, if you will, in week one, I would be more concerned about them being distracted in the first couple of weeks of the season. But now they have something else to kind of divert their attention away from week three, because Louisville's good. Louisville can beat them. I think they're going to start the season ranked. So at least they have something to kind of take to pull their attention away and focus on something other than LSU. But, I mean, you know it, and everybody listening to this knows it. The amount of pressure that is on that team to win that game in particular. I mean, there's pressure in the LSU game every year.
Right.
There was pressure in the LSU game last year, and there was none of this crap. So they're going to hear about it. They're going to know about it. It's going to be everywhere. They won't be able to escape it. These are 85 guys that are on social media all day long. They're going to see it. Their classmates are going to tell them about it. They were coached by the guy, a lot of them. Not winning that game will – I mean, I guess you could look at 2014 and the Treadwell injury as a game where the vibes were just
– sort of the same thing.
But it was less angry and more just emotional because of what happened.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
This will be I mean,
He'll be angry.
anger in a way that I don't know that you could ever think back and replicate a time in which there was that kind of response after this game. Lane Kiffin winning on that field will generate a reaction that I don't know how you overcome. It's going to be that intense.
So Mississippi State never didn't have a lot of success against Lane Kiffin, shall we say. He won 5 out of the 6 Egg Bowls while he was the head coach at Ole Miss. Is that going to continue under Pete Golding this season? I feel like right now Ole Miss would probably be a 2-touchdown underdog. Oh, I'm sorry, favorite. But at the same
If
time,
they're a
what
two
we're
touchdown underdog, Pete Golden's getting fired at the end of this
there
year.
could be the situation there for sure. What does Mississippi State need? What is something that Mississippi State can do this year to narrow the gap with Ole Miss?
Lines of scrimmage. Lines of scrimmage. Ole Miss, that's one thing that they've done really well lately, especially on the defensive line. I mean, you've seen it. That they are recruiting and portaling. I guess that also is recruiting. The lines of scrimmage really, really well. And that is something that State needs to get back to because that used to be State. You know that. All of you listening know that. Mississippi State used to be where the defensive linemen went. And now that's Ole Miss. I mean, they have I've seen some projections now that had Will Eccles inside of the top 15. Some people think that he's a single-digit draft pick upcoming. They've recruited that position really well. They've got depth there on the defensive line, and they portal it well. That's what State needs to do. Jeff Lebby's got he's getting skill position guys. He's got a super high ceiling quarterback. The running back room looks really good, but they struggle up front. And same thing on the defensive side of the ball. Now Arnett, I think, is going to help, and there's a lot of raw talent, more so than last year. If you look at recruiting profiles, but that's the biggest difference between these two teams right now, I think, is the lines of scrimmage.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that 100%. Long way to go to the Egg Bowl, but it's never too early to talk about it. Michael
Nope.
Borky, I'll see you in about 2 hours.
Sounds good.
All right, thanks to Michael. Appreciate him. Kind of. He's all right. He's fine. Better than Richard. I'll say that. He's a Richard. You talked about it yesterday.
Yeah,
So.
unfortunate name.
All right, let's move into our top thoughts on the Egg Bowl. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats. Just saw a tweet from Two Brothers. They made a really good point that I hadn't considered. Getting Dad a Two Brothers gift card, that's a great gift. Give the gift of Southern soul food. And that's talk about the easiest gift in the world. People talk about gift cards and they're like, they're so impersonal. Dads are impersonal. We'll take a gift card. We're completely happy. If my kids are like, Dad, we got you a $50 gift card to Two Brothers Smoked Meats, I'd be like, I raised you right. I did it. So
You get
that's it.
that, you go on a Tuesday or a Wednesday with that.
Oh,
You're good.
you go to Taco Tuesday with a $50 gift card, and they might roll you out of there.
Yeah,
Yeah,
straight up.
they're gonna need to take you out on a hammock, something like
Yeah.
that. Two Brothers Smoke Meats and the older brother in the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. If you're looking for business technology, if you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers or laptops, call my friends at Advantage Business Systems. They're gonna get you hooked up with a great product, a great deal, but more importantly, great service after the sale. You know how it goes sometimes. You buy something and then you try to make a phone call when it doesn't want to work. And man, you're on hold for 45 minutes. And then, okay, let's talk you through this. Oh, we're going to send somebody out. Can they be there in a week? You can't, don't live like that. Work with our friends at Advantage Business Systems. They live in Mississippi just like you. They can fix your problems a lot of times the exact same day. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. And how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. is the place to go. Everything maroon and white at Maroon & Co. Whatever you're looking for this holiday season. It is a holiday. Father's Day is a holiday. It
Oh, I
should be
see.
anyway. I'm off work, so it's a holiday. Whatever you're looking for, maroon and white, they've got it at Maroon & Co. Mississippi State gear, hats, polos, pullovers, hoodies, shoes, stuff for the car, for the tailgate, everything is at Maroon & Co. And our promo code is at Maroon & Co. so you can save a little money. Thunder 15, take 15% off the regular price. Some exclusions do apply. Next time you're in Starkville looking for Mississippi State gear, you need to go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Again, we're staying with the Father's Day theme all the way through. Whatever Dad likes to do, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden has something for him. If he's a repairman, he likes to work around the house. They have one of the biggest selections of power tools in North Mississippi. If he's an outdoorsman, a great selection of shotguns, rifles, rods and reels, whatever it is to get dad out in the woods or in the water. Dad likes to grill. They have an incredible grill selection up there. But most importantly, if dad likes to keep that lawn looking its best, like the 18th green at Augusta, get a John Deere mower out there. John Deere compact tractors, if you got the big jobs, John Deere zero-turn mowers for the homeowners, whatever it is you're looking for that's in John Deere green, great deals, great financing available with our friends at Scruggs. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. They have what dad wants for less. Landowners in the state of Mississippi, you need to know the name Good Hope Land and Timber. If you're trying to buy or sell land right now, Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly make that purchase happen for you and make a great deal for you, be it a couple hundred or a couple thousand acres. But if you're already a landowner and you just need to, hey, I need to manage my land, my timber, my resources, that's where Good Hope Land and Timber can really shine for you. They're just a phone call away. They're experts in their field. You can make them experts in your field. 601-442-9888 or visit them online at g-hope.com. Find out Good Hope Land and Timber, locally trusted, landowner approved. One second. I'm gonna up the voltage on the fan here. It's a little warm. That is one thing when you do the quick, like go from workout to shower. You know that you get a little hot, you get a little humidity. So let me go. I'll be right back. You talk us through it.
You do get a little hot. Brian is cranking up the leaning tower of fan over there. It's not straight up, but it works enough.
What are you talking about?
The fan. You said talk through it.
Well, I got a new fan. Have you been in here? I got a new fan. The broken fan has been replaced.
Oh, the leaning tower of fan is no more.
The leaning tower of Fanza is gone, and I got a new fan, and it's very nice, actually. I actually have two fans. They gave me two.
Wow.
So if we get, like, deep into the dog days of summer and it's really hot in here, we're okay. If the air conditioning goes out, I'll be all right.
Oh, man.
It'd be tough, but at least I got two fans. Trust me. Yeah. People who are longtime listeners to this podcast know about the air conditioning troubles I've had at my house. The times that I had to suck the hose. So, you know, just we don't want to talk about that.
Suck the hose?
I had to suck the hose. Yeah.
What do you mean?
It happens.
What do you mean?
I had to suck the hose.
Okay.
I mean, can I be any clearer than I don't think so.
Like, all right. Okay. Just go ahead.
Yeah, it's fine. All right. So, you know, talking to Michael there. I think you and I agree. This is going to be let's put it this way. On paper, this should be a really good Ole Miss football team. They should contend to make another appearance in the college football playoff. They have one of the foolproof things that you can have is when you have an elite quarterback, it's hard to be a bad football team. Like, you got to really struggle. You got to be really bad at the other positions to be bad. And they aren't. Ole Miss has got a lot of talent. I stand by what I said in that interview, which is we don't really – if we learn anything about Pete Golding this year, it's probably bad. Like, if he goes 10-2 and they're in the playoff, we didn't learn anything. Next year, when Chambliss is gone and Lacey is gone and a lot of those pieces are gone and it's more of the team that he's put together, then we can learn. That said, you know, if we want to make the comparisons to Joe Moorhead, which, as a Mississippi State fan, that's kind of what we're hanging our hat on right this second. If you want Golding to be the guy who takes over for the guy, and he's not the guy, he's not the same coach. I would tell you that if this Ole Miss team comes into the Egg Bowl with four losses, that's a bad, bad, bad sign for the Rebels.
I would agree. I remember what I have them on our little sheet there. Mm-hmm. I remember what I have them, but if they have four losses,
you got to beat in Georgia.
I do. If they have four losses, they're going to be in some trouble. But like you said, it's really hard to be bad with a bad quarterback. And I mean, one of the best quarterbacks in college football. And then you also pair it with one of the best running backs. Mm-hmm. So that backfield is pretty set. They got some nice wide receiver transfers. I mean, look, their offense is going to be fine again, like it was last year. It's just their defense. I mean, at the end of the year, I mean, you saw them get carved up by Florida. You saw them get carved up by Mississippi State at times in the game. And then, mm-hmm. Definitely against Miami in the Fiesta Bowl. I mean, they couldn't stop anything. So, right. And Golding's a defensive guy too. So really building that side of the ball, I feel like, which I can't believe I'm saying about a Pete Golding team, is going to be their X factor because they have so much production coming back on offense. Their defense is really good, is going to either, you know, make or break their season. I mean, they've got some tough games this year at Texas, really tough one. Obviously the one against Georgia, they've got some tough opponents. So if they're gonna go to the playoff like they did again last year, that defense is gonna have to take a step up. And they did lose some guys last minute. Thank you, Kiffin, for that. They lost Princewell Umanyi-Milan, who's set to be their top edge rusher. They lost
DJ
TJ
Dottery.
Dottery, started every game. I mean, they had lost some guys, but they got some new guys like the new Clemson linebacker that Dabo is crying about.
Forelli, yeah.
Yeah, Forelli. They got some guys. Their defense will be the X factor.
So I love making this. If you want to, needle an Ole Miss fan, which God knows I'm prone to do. You talk about Golding at Ole Miss, and you say, like, well, his defenses have been pretty good. But the year he had Zach Arnett working with him, they were the best defense in the country. That's how you attack that.
Yeah, I
You
didn't
know?
know that until now. I
Yeah,
forgot he
he
was
was an
at Ole
analyst
Miss.
on that 2024 team.
That defense, oh my gosh,
They were so
it's
good, right? Why? Zach
insane.
Arnett.
I cannot believe they wasted that because that defense was unbelievable.
Well, I mean, something about Mississippi State and Ole Miss. They both have awesome defenses, but they can't, for whatever reason, go all the
They
way through.
had Dart too, and they had, oh my gosh, they had so many.
That is a crime against, if you're an Ole Miss fan, whatever you want to hate on Kiffin for, that's what you should hate Kiffin for, is
That
he had that
year,
team and could not go to the playoff.
they had eight people drafted.
They were a good team. They
I
were
mean,
a
they
great
were.
college football team.
I could not believe they wasted that.
This year, the Egg Bowl, you're talking if you're State. I mean, their State right now is if they give me a line today, State's probably like a 10 to 14 point between their underdog in this game. That it's in Oxford. You're talking about losing 6 out of 7. Now, let me go back to the 80s. Stop it. Let me go back to the 80s real quick, and let me see.
I will say, Brian, I don't know what the line was last year, but that Egg Bowl in 2024 was a fat line, and it was a close. All these are close games, man.
That game, Mississippi State played way over its head, and Ole Miss played poorly.
Way bad.
And yeah, there was a moment in the game where
Grandiose.
Coleman gets stopped at the one. Remember, had the long pass. He doesn't go in. He gets stopped at the one, and then State doesn't score. I mean, they're talking about making it like a 5-point game in the fourth quarter if he could go into the end zone there. And this year, if that were to happen, you've got Kemario Taylor. You're getting in the end zone. He's going to
Yeah,
plunge it
it
in.
was close for a while, and then State kind of just went cold a little
So
bit,
State lost 83, 84, 85, 86, 88, 89, 90. So that's what, 7 out of 8? Is that right? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Yeah, they lost 7 out of 8 from 83 to 1990, basically until Jackie Sherrill took over. Rocky Felker was 1 and 4 against Ole Miss, and Emory Ballard lost his last two against Ole Miss. That's the kind of stretch Mississippi State's in right this second. Now, what's interesting is Ole Miss, by the way, here's a stat that won't make you happy if you're a Bulldog fan. The last, I believe it's four. Let me think. Yeah, Cutcliffe didn't win his first Egg Bowl. But Nutt, Freeze, Orgeron, yeah, Nutt, Freeze, Luke, Kiffin all won their first Egg Bowl. So the last four head coaches won their first Egg Bowl. There was a stretch of like seven straight coaches on either side won their first Egg Bowl, but then it got snapped because Kiffin and Leach's first Egg Bowl was the same Egg Bowl.
Oh,
So
I see.
there was just no way to continue. So now it's the Ole Miss side. So yeah, Houston Nutt won his first Egg Bowl. Hugh Freeze won his first Egg Bowl. Matt Luke won his first Egg Bowl. And then, obviously, Lane Kiffin won his, so we'll see what happens with Kiffin. What I will say is this: if we're talking about this from a Mississippi State perspective, is by the end of the season, Kemario Taylor, we're going to know what we've got there all the way, right? He's
100%.
either you either know he's going to be great, or you're thinking, oh, he just looks great. Those are the only two options. Great players sometimes are able to elevate in big games, and so. If you ask me what's the formula for Mississippi State beating Ole Miss next year or this coming season, it's Kemario Taylor has a historic day. That's got to be the first thing you write down on the script, in my opinion. What do you think?
Yeah, he's got to have a good game.
No,
He was
I go further than that, Carlo. He's got to have a
well,
great game.
yeah. I was just thinking about the last Egg Bowl he had what, almost 200 yards rushing, but passing wise, he was not great. In that game, you've
Exactly.
got to be, if they're going to beat Ole Miss this year, and thinking way ahead, Ole Miss is probably going to be on the bubble for another playoff spot this year if everything goes right and no one gets hurt, I would imagine.
That's right.
That game is going to be very important to them, again, most likely.
Could be the same situation as last year, Carlo, where
Mississippi State
you
versus.
knew if Ole Miss lost that game, they were not making the playoff. And, maybe the
They
pressure
would
can.
have made it at 10 and 2, but they just wouldn't have hosted a
I don't think
game.
they, I don't know they would have made it. Like, cause I
They
think,
would have
cause
made it.
I'm
Alabama
going.
made it at 9 and 3.
Well, they didn't.
Or 10 and 3.
They
Sorry.
were 10 and they were 10 and 3, but they went to the SEC championship game. The reason I say they wouldn't have made it is the committee would have looked at it and go, okay, they lost and Kiffin's leaving. That's not the same. They would have 100% played that game. I really believe that.
Yeah, they would have gotten Florida stated.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, if State's gonna win this Egg Bowl this year, he's gonna have to have, I don't, he probably doesn't need to have 200 yards rushing, but
He needs
maybe
to be close to 400 all-purpose yards.
yeah, I was gonna say maybe 200, 300 passing yards and close to 100 rushing
If I
yards.
got 250, 150 from him, I'd feel really good.
Oh my gosh. I mean, player of the week at that point.
Well, that's what it's going to take.
Yeah.
Is you're going to have your top guy show up against this. You're on the road. It's going to be a high pressure environment. Also, it depends on what state is at this point. If state comes in this game and they're like 7-4, and they're like, man, we win this game and go to a really good bowl game, the state will have the motivation. But if state comes in, there's a world where state comes in and they're like 4-7, and Lebby's already on the way out the door, and it could be a different game.
It'll be tough.
State's path to victory runs through Kamario Taylor's ability to play maybe the best game he's ever played.
Yeah.
Defensively, I think State hit Arnett, for whatever reason, has always been able to game plan against the Kiffin style of offense. State has always had good games, when he was there, of being able to slow them down and not allow them to just run up and down the field. Arnett has a plan for that. So I feel like State's defense will keep them in the game, but they're going to need points, and they're going to need Kamario Taylor to show up in a big, big way. Again, if he does what he did on the ground last year and I can just get him to complete four or five more passes, State, that's a totally different game last year in Starkville. As good as Ole Miss played that day, as bad as State played defensively that game. Kamario just missed a few open receivers here and there. You have the interception where Fluff Bothwell lets it go off his hands. I mean, if he catches that, he's probably going to get a first down. Maybe it's a different game. I don't know. But for me,
How many points do you think it will take to confidently win that game next year? If you had to put a number.
31.
Okay, yeah, that's a good number.
If you get 31 points, you win the game.
That defense, I mean, obviously we haven't seen them play, but watching them in
They're going to be better.
spring ball, I mean, they look better.
They look, but they're just better coached.
Better coach, but also something that Levy had said in the spring too, they're getting more power four transfers than guys coming from,
Yes.
the Sun Belt or the Conference USA. They're getting like LSU transfers and other guys. I think they got one from A&M on the defensive line or something. They're getting guys that are power four guys who just didn't work out at that school. I mean, that's a big
Yeah,
difference
that
between
is a
guys.
difference. Yeah, no, I agree.
So I think they'll be much improved.
I do too. I do too. So, long way to go before the Egg Bowl, but it's all, like I said, it's never too early to start talking about it, especially here in the state of Mississippi. All right, tomorrow's show, Carly has to go back to school. Dr. Haydad will be in session. We're going to talk Mississippi State running backs. Some great, great players for Mississippi State. Maybe not the most well-known players outside the maroon and white bubble, but the ones who know, they know. We'll talk about that on tomorrow's show. Guys, have a great, great Thursday. Back with you on Friday for Carlo Barone. I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
A Super Talk Mississippi media production.